Let me give you a little bit of Hebrew background to this story as we begin with Elizabeth this morning in Luke 1. I'm going to begin in 1:5, and then we'll fill in. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Now these two, being both of the priestly line, are holy people. They come from a line of people who have followed very carefully the commandments and observances that the Lord has given them to follow. The priests were the example. They had no land of their own. They lived on tithes of the people. They saw their sustenance even as coming from the Lord's hand. And it's interesting how the scriptures say it was Elizabeth who was barren. It wasn't Zechariah, it was Elizabeth. You'll see here as Zechariah gets called, there is a form. Let me read on here. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, all the priests were split into divisions to be called up to serve in the temple in a cyclical fashion. When his division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Now, this is true from both the tabernacle years and in the temple years. There was an outside place where the people stood. And inside, in what is called the holy place, there were three things: the lampstand, which never went out, the bread of presence set on this holy table, signifying the Lord's presence and sustenance for the people. And then there was a square altar for incense that stood right in front of the Holy of Holies. It was kind of a triangle the way these things were arranged. And you could only go in and be priest in that area if you were younger than 50 years of age. So when they say they're well along in years, most of us in here would be kind of where they are. You know, we're well along in years. They were not elderly, but they were well along in the sense of even the way people lived then. Some died sooner. This was a time when people didn't live long like they did in the Old Testament. They were having their babies very early in their teen years and early 20s. So for Elizabeth to be up in years, probably she's in her 40s. She's barren and has wanted a child for many, many years. So here Zechariah is called by lot. Now understand this backdrop, because I'm going to bring in Zechariah. You can't talk about these women without the men. We're after what the church has to learn from why they're included. And it's always in relationship to someone else. When Zechariah is called to go in, the understanding to the priests were that only the priest went in. In fact, the priests had bells on the bottom of their robes so that if something happened in there, they could be pulled out because no one else could go in there except the priest that was by lot told to come in. You could not go in and minister there. And in the Holy of Holies, only once a year, but the holies was every day. A priest went in by lot to burn the incense, to put fresh bread on the table, to be sure the lights were trimmed. So as he goes in at this time of praying, everybody is outside. He knows, he's known from childhood, no one else is going to be in that area. Now what happens? Verse 10, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now he's alone in this room, which is about 15 by 30. And these three things are there, and right in front of that massive curtain that protects them from the Holy of Holies is this altar of incense, square with horns on the ends. And to the right of it, a man appears. An angel appears. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Always the response we see of people in the presence of holy angels. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Apparently, he's been praying about this answer that's going to just about to come. This is his prayer. Apparently, he's even prayed maybe that day. Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John, which means beloved. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a beautiful prophecy the angel is giving him, that this baby, given directions much like Manoah and his wife are given for Samson, no wine, this child set apart from birth to represent the Lord, to bring many in Israel, turn their hearts back to God in the way of righteousness, preparing the people in the spirit and power of Elijah, the greatest of the prophets in terms of power and signs and might and standing, not even having seen death but gone to heaven in a fiery chariot, who will again come before the great and terrible day of the Lord to declare again the Lord's righteousness to prepare the people for the coming of Messiah. He comes in the spirit of Elijah. This is so strongly prophetic. This man, this priest, would have understood the implications of all of this from Scripture as coloring the coming of Messiah. It was all there. And that this child that he and his beloved wife are going to have was going to have this big peace. And this extra wonderful thing said, he'll be a joy and a delight to you. Many people will rejoice about this baby. What is his response? Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now, he sins in this because if an angel is speaking to you, the angel never is wrong. The angel has never been wrong in Scripture. The angel will never be wrong in Scripture. The angel is in the holy place. He is there by lot. Everything about this should have made him flat on his face. Whatever you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. But instead, there's something in Zechariah that wants an additional sign. That is a sinful desire. This is not a godly desire. It isn't one where he should need extra support. You know, sometimes people do need extra support, and the Lord is gentle with that. But this man didn't need that. He was having an experience that no one in the whole world was going to have. There was not another priest that had this experience. In all of Scripture, there's not another priest that had this experience. And he is judged. But isn't God gracious? Listen to the judgment. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He's standing in the presence of the symbols of God, Zechariah. But Gabriel stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. The Lord did not take the promise away. But Gabriel passes a judgment. He disciplines him with the inability to speak. The Scriptures also said, don't be hasty to utter things before God. Zechariah was hasty. If he'd maybe given it a minute's thought, he would have kept his mouth shut. But he quickly responds. It's a little similar to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, just lost in wonder. Oh, this is so great that you're here. Let us build tabernacles. Hush, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. There's a time to speak and a time to not speak. And Zechariah did not speak appropriately. He could have spoken, but he did not speak with forethought. And so he has a discipline put on his mouth. apparently, from you can tell later in the story, maybe he also couldn't hear because people treat him like he can't hear because he can't talk. We'll see this in a minute. They make motions to him and stuff when he's not deaf, okay? He just can't speak. But here's what happens. I'm going to read this whole section. It's so beautiful. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, verse 21, and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Now this gives us an inner Elizabeth whom we're speaking of today. She has felt in herself that her barrenness, her inability to conceive, in this married to a godly man in a godly line of people born to the service of the Lord, for her to not have a child has been something the Lord easily could have done but has not. He has kept his hand from answering their prayers for a baby. She's pregnant. Now, there's nothing written here about what Zechariah tells her. Surely he has written her a letter when he gets home. Okay, surely there's been some communicating going on here. And she's pregnant, and she's delighted. But this is interesting to me because she's such a woman. Okay, her response is not over-spiritualized. Her response is just like a woman who is overjoyed when she finds out she's pregnant. She does not go on and on that she's been chosen to bear this great prophet. She's having a baby, okay? She's into it. She's having a baby. God has heard her prayer. You can think, well, this is a little presumptuous that she thinks God has done this because she prayed for a baby. I mean, this is the opposite when you see and we hear about the line in the front of the purpose-driven life. It's not about you. That's true. We think a lot of things are about us. But here's a balance to that. Yes, it is. God deals in specific with people to bring about his purposes. It is folly for us to go into prayer and ask God for something, and then when the answer comes, say, well, I don't know if it had anything to do with my praying, but praise the Lord. Hello. You know, that's stupid. I say that to myself. That's not smart. To go before the Lord Almighty in the name of Jesus and ask for something, and when his grace, he answered it, to not say, God has done this wonderful thing for me. I asked him, and he did this. Why don't we do that? Sometimes it's because it makes us feel like, well, gosh, what did I have to do with it anyway? I just prayed a humble prayer. I mean, God was going to do this anyway, obviously. But that removes the relationship Jesus actually died to give us. He did not die for our sins. He died for our souls. He got sent out of the way so he could bring us into oneness with him. He died to make us one with him, to love us and have us know his lavish care. Elizabeth, in the midst of a miracle that is happening, a prophecy unrivaled that they have ever heard of a baby coming. This is greater than any of the prophecies in the Old Testament about babies being born. This baby had an enormous job, would be born with the spirit of Elijah on him. This is remarkable. But she's going, her first joy is, the Lord has done this for me. She sees her joy enjoined with his. Y'all, this is important in our praying. It's all right to give thanks to the Lord among the congregation of the godly for the wonderful things he's done in your life. We sometimes hold our mouths because we think, well, he hasn't done it for them, so I don't want to brag about this thing he's done for me. There should be some sensitivity, absolutely. But it is also a humbling thing to say, he has done this. It is about his love and his mercy and not about my deserving. That is the place of humility. You give the answered prayer. You give glory to God in humility, but you give glory to God.